Welcome to episode 296 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Revelation. And yes, my friends, this is it, the 50th and final book in our year-long series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. We started in Genesis at the beginning, walked our way through the law and the historical books, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and other wisdom literature, several of the books of prophecy, before turning to the New Testament, the Gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and epistles written by Paul, James, Peter, and John. Which brings us to this week. The man who would become the Apostle John was the son of Zebedee and Salome, and the brother of James. After Jesus' return to heaven and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, John took, together with Peter, a prominent part in the founding and guidance of the church. We see him in the company of Peter at the healing of a lame man in the temple. With Peter, he's also thrown into prison, and he and Peter both visit the newly converted in Samaria. In the early days of the church, he writes a gospel about which he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Unlike the three synoptic gospels, John's purpose is not to present a chronological narrative of the life of Christ, but to display his deity. John seeks to strengthen the faith of second-generation believers. Later, he writes three epistles for a similar purpose. Now we find him toward the end of his life, exiled on a small rocky island in the Aegean Sea because of his faithful witness to the gospel. This now old man has endured all the hardships of Roman abuse. On one particular Sabbath, he has a special visit from Jesus, who comes to encourage him in his suffering on this Isle of Patmos. In a series of visions, Jesus shows him the panoramic history of the church and what God's people will experience as they wait for their Lord's return. What John sees in vision, he faithfully records in a scroll that he titles The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The book that he writes reveals Jesus' work in heaven and on earth since his ascension and what he will do when he returns. It is intended to assure Christians through the ages of Christ's presence and to sustain them as they experience the trials of daily life amid a fallen world immersed in a great controversy between good and evil. 2 Peter 1 verse 19, "And we have the prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Revelation 1 verse 1 gives the title of the book as the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation comes from a Greek word which can be translated apocalypse, which means uncovering or unveiling. The apocalypse is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is both from Jesus and about him. While it came from God through Jesus Christ, the book testifies that Jesus also is the focus of its contents. The apocalypse is his self-revelation to his people and an expression of his care for them. Jesus is the central figure of Revelation. The book begins with him and concludes with him. Also, the Jesus of the apocalypse is the Jesus of the four Gospels. Revelation continues the description of Christ and his works of salvation on behalf of his people as first depicted in those Gospels. The book of Revelation focuses on different aspects of his existence and ministry. Essentially, it begins where the Gospels end, with Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Together with the epistle to the Hebrews, Revelation emphasizes Jesus' heavenly ministry. It shows that after his ascension, Jesus was inaugurated into his royal and priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Without these two books, Revelation and Hebrews, our knowledge of Christ's high priestly ministry in heaven on behalf of his people would likely be very limited. Revelation 1 verse 1 also tells us that the purpose of the book is to show future events, starting from the time when the book itself was written. Anyone familiar with Revelation will notice that the prediction of events, whether those already fulfilled, at least from our perspective today, or those events still future, again from our perspective today, occupies most of the book's content. The primary purpose of biblical prophecies is to assure us that no matter what the future brings, God is in control. Revelation does just that. It assures us that Jesus Christ is with his people throughout the world's history and its alarming final events. Consequently, Revelation's prophecies have two practical purposes: to teach us how to live today and to prepare us for the future. Revelation's end time prophecies are not revealed to satisfy our obsessive curiosity about the future. The book reveals only those aspects of the future important for us to know. They are disclosed to impress upon us the seriousness of what will happen so that we will realize our dependence on God and in that dependence obey him. For centuries, speculation and even sensationalism has accompanied so much of the teaching regarding end time events. Fortunes have been made by those who, predicting the immediate end, have scared people into giving money to their ministry because, well, the end was near. Each time, though, the end didn't come, and people were left disillusioned and discouraged. As with all the good things God has given us, prophecy can be misused and misinterpreted as well. Revelation 1 verse 1 further states, "And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John." Here we find a very important word in the book. The word "signified" is a translation of a Greek word which means to show by symbolic signs. This word is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in which Daniel explained to King Nebuchadnezzar that by the statue made of gold, silver, bronze, and iron, God signifies to the king what will take place in the future. By employing the same word, John tells us that the scenes and events of Revelation were shown to him in vision in symbolic presentations. Guided by the Holy Spirit, John faithfully records these symbolic presentations as he sees them in his visions. Thus, for the most part, the language used to describe Revelation's prophecies must not be interpreted literally. As a rule, the reading of the Bible, in general, presupposes a literal understanding of the text, unless the text points to intended symbolism. But when we read Revelation, unless the text points to a literal meaning, we need to interpret it symbolically. While the scenes and events predicted are real, they usually are expressed in symbolic language. Keeping in mind the larger symbolic character of Revelation will safeguard us against distorting the prophetic message. In trying to determine the meaning of the symbols used in the book, we must be careful not to impose on the text a meaning that comes out of human imagination or the current meanings of these symbols in our culture. Instead, we must go to the Bible and to the symbols found in its pages in order to understand the symbols in the book of Revelation. In fact, in trying to unlock the meaning of those symbols in Revelation, we must remember that most of them are drawn from the Old Testament. By portraying the future in the language of the past, God wanted to impress upon our minds that his acts of salvation in the future will be very much like his acts of salvation in the past. What he did for his people in the past, he will do for them again in the future. In endeavoring to decode the symbols and images of Revelation, we must start by paying attention to the Old Testament. Father, thank you for the assurances provided to us in the book of Revelation. Help us to understand the messages therein. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.